DoorDash had a problem. As their cloud-native environment scaled and developers delivered new features, their monitoring system kept breaking down. In an organization where data is used to make better decisions about technology and about the business, losing observability means the entire company loses their competitive edge. With Chronosphere, DoorDash is no longer losing visibility into their application suite. The key? Chronosphere is an open-source compatible, scalable, and reliable observability solution that gives the observability lead at DoorDash Business confidence and peace of mind. Read the full success story at snark.cloud/chronosphere. That's snark.cloud/chronosphere. Welcome to Last Week in AWS, the podcast. I'll be in Chicago this week. Wednesday evening, we'll be throwing a drink up of some form, and I will be at the Chicago AWS Summit on Thursday. But for now, let's dive in. Amazon EKS announces cluster-level cost allocation tagging, which is necessary but not sufficient, because I want to know what the cost is down to the pod level. Amazon MSK Serverless is now integrated with AWS CloudFormation and Terraform. That's right, it's now Amazon MSK Clickless. Amazon SageMaker Canvas enables faster onboarding with automatic data import from local disk. Great. Now fix the session hourly charge problem. It bit me so hard that I'm averse to the entire thing. Right now, it enables faster customer bankruptcy. AWS Config now supports 20 new resource types, and my AWS Config bill has been ticking steadily upward for the last couple days since then. I should look into that. AWS Cost Anomaly Detection gets a simplified interface for anomaly exploration. And I know this because that thing I just mentioned about Config's new resource types triggered one of these things. Again, I should really explore this. AWS Cost Categories now support out-of-cycle cost categorization. That's right, it remains a hidden gem of the AWS billing experience, but it does require a certain level of customer financial maturity before it even begins to make sense. A decade of ever-increasing provisioned IOPS for Amazon EBS. If you take a look at what's happened over the past decade and where we started from, it's pretty astonishing. AWS's storage technology is both sweepingly transformative as well as improves so steadily that most people don't recognize just how far we've come. AWS Trusted Advisor, new priority capability. Trusted Advisor is crap, but if you pay us enough, we'll have your account team curate the things that are actually important and prioritize that for you above all of the irrelevant noise. How Grillo built a low-cost earthquake early warning system on AWS. This is nothing. Back in the data center days, we built a low-cost earthquake early warning system by balancing a laptop precariously on top of a server rack. When it went crashing to the floor, it meant that an earthquake was starting. Okay, honestly, it usually meant that Dewey, the data center tech, was back in the building with his hardware destruction aura and is, as always, extraordinarily accident-prone. New HTTP3 support for Amazon CloudFront. This week has been an HTTP3 education for me. One thing that I learned is you have to explicitly enable it in Safari if you want to use it there. Managing Kubernetes control plane events in Amazon EKS. We picked a Kubernetes default that may not work for you, and rather than applying engineering solutions to this, have decided to make implementing a workaround your expensive problem instead.
This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Sysdig. Sysdig is the solution for securing DevOps. They have a blog post that went up recently about how an insecure AWS Lambda function could be used as a pivot point to get access into your environment. They've also gone deep in depth with a bunch of other approaches to how DevOps and security are inextricably linked. To learn more, visit sysdig.com and tell them I sent you. That's sysdig.com. My thanks to them for their continued support of this ridiculous nonsense.
Amazon DynamoDB can now import Amazon S3 data into a new table. Let's make migrating a table between regions or accounts or even within one account be overcomplicated with extra steps. This is so close and yet so far from what customers actually want that it's actively infuriating. Live content moderation using machine learning. Okay, if AWS is pushing content like this, then why is the auto moderator bot on every AWS Twitch stream so aggressively awful? I no longer really participate in the chat there just because I'm tired of playing the what innocuous statement will trigger some auto moderation rule game. Customize AWS Config resource tracking in AWS Control Tower environment. Config can be really expensive, so here's how to turn it off. Is one solution. I'd accept it from, I don't know, me. But when AWS is saying it, maybe you should fix the damned do I track resource changes or do I remain solvent problem? No? AWS launches AWS Wicker Attack plugin. It protect, it attack, mostly it's just crappy Slack. How to use customer-managed policies in AWS IAM Identity Center for advanced use cases. I admit it's going to take me a while to get used to reading about the IAM Identity Center and remembering that it's talking about the service formerly known as AWS SSO. Enabling secure mission success with Wicker RAM in Department of Defense Cloud One. AWS took this blog post down soon after publishing it, but I kept and linked to the receipts in the newsletter because I've been trying my damnedest to make a Wicker Man parody song work about this thing, and they just gave me a freebie in terms of Wicker RAM. Thanks, AWS. And finally, take a look inside the lab where AWS makes custom chips. This post talks about Toronto, California. As best I can determine, there is, in fact, no such city. That's okay. It's not like details matter when it comes to custom processors. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Stay salty.
Stay humble.